Prabhupada. They need Prabhupada. And then they actually will sign up to be part of Prabhupada's mission.
When is Guru Purnima this year, do you know?
Guru Purnima is sometime in the summer, I have no idea.
Yeah. It's usually like May or something.
Yeah, sometimes it's so crowded here, that's Guru Purnima he's mentioning, that people are like this solid around Govardhan. Seriously. I mean, if someone sneezes, it'll be like dominoes. Everyone around the whole Govardhan will just fall down on the ground. Not quite, but I mean, it's almost like that. So, Govardhan is the topmost of all the pilgrimage places in India. This area of Braj, or what they call Vrindavan, is top, but then top of Braj, or Vrindavan area, is Govardhan, and then top of Govardhan is Radhakund. You've heard of that, Radhakund, Chamakund. So, anyway, this is where it's at. It doesn't get any higher than here. Okay, so maybe we should have a class. Mahamantra's not here to lead us in a kirtan, so maybe I'll just... Well, give me the guitar, I can play it. Bring the guitar? I'm not as good as Mahamantra, but...
You still want to go see the place of the tail?
I should go see it.
Half the people do go on the inner path, so we miss half the people, maybe a third of them go
there. Yeah.
But if you want to do something...
called Nitai Gaur Radhai Shyam Jai Krishna Balaram. But the chanting Hare Krishna you can follow. But the other words are English. Nitai Gaur Radhai Shyam Jai Krishna Balaram. Nitai Gaur Radhai Shyam Jai Krishna. So far from me in this world of misery, seen everything and been everywhere. to Nutmeyer. Maybe you can put the guitar on the seat back there. So, anyway, even an old man can have a little fun once in a while. So, so what we were doing is we were reading from the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada's book, based on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Srila Rupa Goswami. And we were talking, just to give an introduction to somebody who weren't here before, we were talking about emotions, you know, which are in Sanskrit are called bhavas. And there's different varieties of emotions, and there's different categories of emotions, and it's different, let's say, manifestations or whatever of emotions. So let me describe it real briefly, because devotees here heard this before. There's vibhava emotions, that means which stimulates an emotion. Probably remember this from yesterday or the day before. Like when someone sees a peacock feather, it reminds them of Krishna and then they faint in ecstasy. And then things like that, or seeing Krishna, that he definitely stimulates an emotion. Oh, if you hear Krishna playing the flute. And then after that, there's anubhava, the voluntary things you do, or you have some control over, some control, maybe not complete control, when you get stimulated, emotionally stimulated. Things like dancing and rolling on the ground, and foaming from the mouth. And then there's what's called the astasattvika bhava, means these emotions that are actually pretty much always there with you. And sometimes they're manifest, sometimes they're not. And they're pretty amazing too. And then finally there's something called, not finally actually, after that there's one other thing. Then there's the vyabhachari bhava, which is like intermittent ecstasies that are completely uncontrollable. And that's like devastation, death, because death may not seem like an ecstasy, but closeness to death. Like, for example, when Lord Chaitanya first saw Lord Jagannath, everyone thought he had died, basically. He just went completely unconscious, and his breath, hardly any breath was there. It was just very, very shallow breath. They had to put a cotton swab by his nose to see if he was actually alive. And then they took him home and he came back to external consciousness. So that's something like that, vyabhachari bhava. Or like Prabhupada, one time Prabhupada was, actually happened twice, was Prabhupada was in Atlanta, Georgia, and Prabhupada was looking at the deities and he began to sing this song that goes Paramakarna Parupomjujanam Nitya Gaura Chanda, which means that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are the most merciful. And he was, Prabhupada was actually thinking about, wow, they've come to this far out place, Atlanta. Because those of us from America don't think Atlanta's far out. But Prabhupada would comment like that. He said, you know, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya has come to this place like at the ends of the earth. And most of us think like America's the center of the earth. And everything revolves around it. You know, what's it called? America-centric. It's like the heliocentric or the geocentric philosophy of, you know, the star and planetary motions. So then Prabhupada just went unconscious. I mean, in trance, I wouldn't say unconscious. You know, it's unconscious. Unconscious means sleep. So Prabhupada just went into a trance and nobody knew what to do. And they just started chanting, and Prabhupada came out of his trance. And what happened at that point is the devotees asked Prabhupada, what should we do when this happens again? And Prabhupada apologetically said, well, frankly, please excuse me. He didn't say please excuse me, but in that mode or mood, he said, it doesn't happen very often, you know. Because he tried, Prabhupada would always keep it under control, or almost always keep it under control. But sometimes, actually I remember being with Prabhupada and you can actually see tears coming from his eyes as he was chanting Jai Ram Madhava. You could actually see things like, but it wasn't so, anyway, so, so it wasn't so apparent, unless you were really, because I, what I would do is when Prabhupada would be giving class, I wouldn't sit in front of him, I'd sit behind him, stand behind him, and I could watch everything. And he wouldn't watch me. Anyway, because it was actually intense. When you were sitting in front of Prabhupada, if you looked at Prabhupada, which you naturally would do, he'd look at you and it was like he was looking right into your soul. He's like, oh my God. It's like your soul is naked at this particular point. And he sees everything, he sees what a rascal. So to avoid Prabhupada seeing what a rascal I was behind him. And I don't think he ever liked that.
What's that happening
behind me? You know, right by the shoulder. I never told that story before, how I did that. And then I would actually look at different parts of Prabhupada's transcendental body and feel ecstasy. Like one time I was looking, I mean, this is a little esoteric. I was looking at the hair coming from Prabhupada's. You know, Prabhupada's going, he's a Shaktivashavatar, he comes from the spiritual world. So, everything that Prabhupada did, you know, everything was just like out of love of Krishna. And every motion he made was like a choreographed dance. It really was. I mean, it was like choreographed. There was no like motion that wasn't for serving Krishna, like all us. You know, we all have so many motions. I go like this, I go like that, you know, whatever. That are not really for serving Krishna. But here is someone who's just like completely in tune with Krishna and Krishna's desire. And so his motions, I mean, just like playing the cartel is how he Prabhupada, and you can see videos like that, Prabhupada going, it was just like, wow. He never misses a beat, and it's always like, the hands go out, you know, the fingers would go out like that, regularly. And then, anyway, then I was looking at the hair coming from the ears, and thinking, oh, that's very spiritual. Someone would think, you know, this guy has a fetish or something. But I don't look at anyone else's hair coming from the ears. I never go up to anyone, what's your hair? But Prabhupada, everything, you know, just the way Prabhupada moved his head, and Prabhupada would play a gong sometimes during the kirtans. And then, anyway, it's just amazing being with Prabhupada. So talking about the ecstasies, so you can actually see that Prabhupada was experiencing these ecstasies continually. Continually. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And then, and the final type of bhava is called sthayi bhava, but that's not something that you can see in someone. That means someone's steady, sthayi means steady, is his or her steady relationship with Krishna, you know, whether it's the conjugal relationship or the parental or the servitude or friendship. That means what's always there. What's always there. And then, of course, it's getting to last night's discussion too, how those are flavored by other bhavas, rasas, like anger or shock or ghastliness or humor. So spiritual life is really interesting, like that. One can have all sorts of tastes. The word rasa doesn't mean relationship, it means a taste that one gets from a relationship. Does that make sense? Anyway. So, maybe we should read a little bit from, just since we're talking about Prabhupada. So here we're going to read about some of the different emotions and examples of those emotions. Time goes quickly. So Om Gana Timananda Shagadanjana Shlakaya Chakshura Minitam Yenitasmai Shikadvaya Namaha. So first we talk about pralaya. Pralaya is what's called devastation and happiness. In other words, you're so happy you feel devastated. I mean, like you see, sometimes there's contradictory emotions. When one emotion becomes so intense, it brings out its opposite. They give you an example of laughing. When you really laugh a lot, it's like crying. So the emotions, it's like, you know, yin and yang. You know, different emotions actually are balanced by their opposites. And they're both ecstasy, you know, so it's called devastation and happiness. So usually devastation is something pretty miserable. Like if someone says to you, "I'm devastated," it's just like, you know, what happened? You know, did your friend die or something like that? That's devastation. But pralaya, devastation and happiness, is actually ecstasy. Or just like another example of how there's ecstasy in misery, is that when Krishna leaves Vrindavan and the associates, his gopi associates, are bereft of his association, then they're feeling so pained that a moment's separation from him, according to Lord Chaitanya, is like a yuga, you know, like an unlimited amount of time. And at the same time, that feeling of separation brings them closer to Krishna, and that's giving them ecstasy. So here you have like extreme misery and extreme ecstasy, you know, happiness or whatever. I'm not saying I understand it. But anyway, but you have this contrast there. See, that was the point I was making. If you just like increase an emotion to it, it just like contrasts itself after a while. It's so interesting. So here, let's just be, before I just keep talking. There are all instances of pralaya in distress. Pralaya, as I said, devastation. One such example is described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, My dear king, when the gopis were missing Krishna, they were so much absorbed in meditation upon him that all their senses stopped functioning and they lost all bodily sense. It is though they had become liberated from all material conditions. So it's almost like impersonal liberation, you know, you just like lose contact with everything. Which wasn't, I mean, obviously they were meditating on Krishna. Out of many ecstatic symptoms of the body, the symptom of being stunned is especially significant. According to the degree of being stunned, the vital force within the body becomes agitated, and due to such a, in other words, it's like shaking and everything like that, and due to such a state, other ecstatic loving symptoms sometimes become altered. These transcendental ecstatic symptoms gradually develop, and in the course of such development, they're sometimes called smoky, sometimes called blazing, sometimes called shining. The 3 degrees experienced for many years and extend. Wow. These three degrees are experienced for many, many years. Think about that. And extend to different parts of the body. Unlike the shedding of tears and faltering of the voice, the condition of being stunned is spread all over the body. The shedding of tears and faltering the voice are simply localized symptoms. The shedding of tears, however, sometimes makes the eyes become swollen and whitish, and sometimes the lenses of the eye become differently focused. Faltering of the voice may sometimes cause choking in the throat and extreme anxiety. As the different symptoms of these ecstatic manifestations are localized, they are accompanied by different local reactions. When the throat is choked up because of a faltering voice, there may be a sound like I hear that at night sometimes when the people are snoring next to me. But you know, such sounds, actually in Bengali, gadgada is the same thing, you know, choking of the voice. Such sounds choke up the voice, and with extreme mental anxiety. So there's anxiety, which is pretty miserable. And this is a symptom of ecstasy. It's hard to understand. And they may manifest in different ways. All these symptoms are listed under the dried up existentials condition known as smoky, and they are exhibited in different ways. Sometimes, while participating in ceremonies celebrating Krishna's pastimes, or in the society of devotees, there is dancing ecstasy. Such sentiments are called blazing. None of these above symptoms can be manifest without the basic principle of strong attachment for Krishna. In the smoky condition of such ecstatic expressions, the symptoms could otherwise be hidden. This type of symptom is experienced by priest Gargamuni, who was performing some ritualistic ceremony in the house of Nanda Maharaj. When he heard about Krishna's killing of the Aga demon, there were some tears visible in his eyes, and his throat was trembling, and perspiration covered his body. In this way, priest Gargamuni's beautiful face assumed a nice condition. So everybody knows about the Aga demon? Agasura? He was a snake demon. And the coward boys, entered his mouth. How'd it go? So you got a good contact with Dr. Leeladhar? He actually has property. He can let us use. Okay. So we're having class. This is a Praneshra, our local businessman, Delhi businessman. So Agasura, talking about the Agasura demon, Agasura, he was an associate of Kamsa, and he expanded himself real big, so it practically looked like his top of his mouth touched the sky. And then the coward boys, having faith in Krishna, went into the mouth of the Agasura demon, to his stomach and mouth and everything. And pretty intense. And they were just laughing. They thought it was play. You know, they actually didn't think it was a cave, even though it looked like a cave, because they could smell the fishy smell coming out of the mouth of the Agasura demon. So they walked on his tongue, and they walked into him. And Krishna was thinking, what should I do? You know, because Krishna, he likes to forget that he's God sometimes. Because if you're always thinking you're God, there's no fun in life. Right? So the fun comes when he actually forgets. So he forgot that he was God, and then he remembered, okay, I'm God. So then he marches into the mouth of the Agasura demon, and he basically expands himself, and the life air comes out of the Brahmarandra, if snakes have Brahmarandras. It comes out of the hole in the top of the head and enters in. When Krishna comes out of the body, then enters into Krishna. And then the coward boys are recovered by Krishna. Very, very nice story. So Gargamuni, he heard this story and he just started crying, and he was trembling and perspiration was covering his body. When several such ecstatic symptoms are visible, the condition is called blazing. For example, some of Krishna's friends told him, "My dear friend, as soon as I heard the sound of your flute from within the forest, my hands became almost motionless and my eyes became full of tears, so much so that I could not recognize your peacock feather. My thighs became almost completely stunned so that I could not, you have to move, they have to leave because they have medicine. Maybe tomorrow afternoon or maybe Friday."
Okay.
One of the two.
You can write me on Messenger.
Yeah, because I don't know what time I'm getting back tomorrow. As long as it's not raining. Therefore, my dear friend, my thighs are almost completely stunned, so they could not move even an inch. Therefore, my dear friend, I must acknowledge the wonderful bright vibration of your transcendental flute. Similarly, one gopi said to another, "My dear friend, when I hear the sound of Krishna's flute, I tried to hide myself from the reaction of the vibrations, but still I could not check the trembling of my body, and therefore all of my friends in the house could detect my attachment for Krishna without a doubt." So this of course is a gopi. I think everybody knows what a gopi is. Gopi is one of Krishna's female girlfriends. Female girlfriend. That's a sort of like repetitive. You wouldn't say male girlfriends. is a female influence. But anyway, and so they were, most of them were married to someone else. And so they had to hide their attraction to Krishna from their husbands, because that would have been a big problem. Had Krishna seen that? Had their husbands seen that? And so sometimes their husbands actually prevented them from going to see Krishna, and then they just left their bodies. Because the sound of Krishna's flute was just so attractive. It's described when Krishna played his flute, the stones would melt, and the animals and human beings, they would just become stunned like stones. So in other words, everything would change its nature to a different nature when Krishna played his flute. So therefore, the gopis didn't want anyone detecting their love. When the ecstatic symptoms cannot be checked, and they simultaneously appear in four or five different categories, this stage of ecstatic love is called shining. The example is cited in this connection that when the sage Narada saw Lord Krishna standing before him, his body became so stunned that he stopped playing on his veena. Because of his faltering voice, he could not offer any prayers to Krishna, and his eyes became filled with tears. Thus, Narada's ability to see Krishna was also obstructed. When similar symptoms were manifest in the body of Srimati Radharani, some of her friends criticized her. "Dear friend, you are blaming the flavor of the flowers for the tears in your eyes. You are rebuking the air for standing in the hairs on your body. And you are cursing your walking in the forest for your thighs being stunt. But your faltering voice reveals the cause of your cause to be different. It is just your attachment to Krishna." Srila Rupa Goswami remarks that when various symptoms become manifest very prominently, the devotee's condition may be called the brightest. For example, a friend of Krishna addressed him as follows, "My dear Pitambara, because of separation from you, all the residents of Goloka Vrindavan are perspiring. They are lamenting with different words, and their eyes have become moistened with tears. Actually, all of them are in great confusion. Their supreme symptom of ecstatic love, which is called Maha Bhavlam." Maha means great or big emotion. This Mahabhava expression was possible only in Radharani, but later on appeared when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to feel the mode of love of Radharani. He also expressed all the symptoms of Mahabhava. Srila Rupa Goswami says in this connection that when the symptoms of ecstatic love become the most bright, that stage is accepted as Mahabhava. I'll give you some examples of that with Lord Chaitanya. That when Lord Chaitanya was at night sleeping in Jagannath Puri, well, not sleeping, or staying, he stayed in this place called the Gambira. Did you visit the Gambira? Yep. A small place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed. And what happened is he was feeling so much ecstasy that he would just run out in the middle of the night, and in one time he jumped into the sea. And the devotees were looking for him. It's an amazing story. Devotees were looking everywhere for him. And the interesting thing about Jagannath Puri is there's a really strong undertow in the sea. Did you experience that when you went swimming? It's actually a side tow. It pulls you. So it pulled them like several kilometers away to near, there's a sun god temple in Cornac. So it pulled them near there. And the devotees kept running up and down the beach trying to find him. Finally, they ran into a fisherman that was chanting Hare Krishna and acting crazy. And they went to the fisherman and said, what's the problem? And he says, I touched a ghost. He said, I was fishing, and then I brought a body in, and I touched that body, and then since then I've been haunted and chanting Hare Krishna, you know, so. And then one of Krishna's devotees, Swarup Damodar Goswami is his name, Lord Chaitanya's devotees, he said to this fisherman, he said, I'm an exorcist. I can cure you. And he slapped him. He said, now you're cured. Now show me where the body is. So he went to where Lord Chaitanya was lying there, and his limbs were actually extended, you know, further than normal. Everything was slack. And they chanted. And then Lord Chaitanya's body resumed the normal form, and then he got up. And he was remembering that he was with Krishna in Vrindavan. So that's Mahabhav right there. It doesn't happen with normal devotees. don't wait for it to happen. It's not going to happen. But and then another time, sometimes Lord Chaitanya was found by the cows at Talanga cows by the side of the Jagannath Puri temple, and he was lying there, and his arms were extended, and they were just cows were just licking him, and then finally, when they figured a way to keep him locked up, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in so much ecstasy he was actually even beating his head against the walls of the Gambhira. You know about this? You've heard this. And then they had to station a devotee inside to just like be awake all the time, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would rest his feet on, so if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moved, the devotee would get up, and just to protect Lord Chaitanya. And this was because of his ecstatic symptoms, which appeared to be like madness. In Sanskrit, the word is divyonmada, which means transcendental madness. Because when one experiences so much ecstasy, it's like madness, happiness. You know, so much happiness, it becomes like madness. And Lord Chaitanya particularly was experiencing the mood of separation from Krishna, which is called in Sanskrit vipralamba. And so, anyway, so that was that's Mahabhav. These are examples of Mahabhav, which are only there in Radharani or Lord Chaitanya. They're not there in any of us. So Srila Rupa Goswami further analyzes the ecstatic loving expression into four divisions, which are called sattva-vasa. And this is interesting. Sometimes impersonalists, that means who don't believe in Krishna or believe that Krishna is just a manifestation of, you know, the Brahman or something like that, or think that everything is one, we're all one, who are not actually in devotional service may also exhibit such symptoms of ecstatic love, but this is not accepted as actual ecstasy. It is a reflection only. For example, sometimes in Varanasi, a holy city, you probably went through there. I'm sure you went through Varanasi. That's right on the road there. A holy city for impersonalist scholars. There may be a sannyasi crying from hearing the glories of the Lord. Impersonalists also sometimes chant the Hare Krishna mantra and dance, but their aim is not to serve Krishna. It is to become one with the Lord and merge into his existence. Rupa Goswami therefore says that even if the reactions to chanting are manifested in the impersonalist body, they should not be considered to be symptoms of actual attachment or reflections only, just like the sun reflected in a dark room through some polished glass. The chanting of Hare Krishna, however, is so nice and transcendental that it will eventually melt the hearts of the persons who are impersonalists. Rupa Goswami says that the impersonalist symptoms are simply reflections of ecstatic love, not the real thing. And then I'll end with a story about an impersonalist from Bhaktivinoda Thakura's Jagadharma. Once upon a time, there was this sannyasi impersonalist in Varanasi, and he was completely self-realized on the Brahman platform. But he wasn't happy. He was just sitting there chanting, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. And he didn't know, I mean, he was absorbed in Brahman, and so he wasn't suffering, because he was relieved of all the material miseries, but he still wasn't in ecstasy. And then a devotee comes by who's chanting what we call Hari Nam, you know, just like public chanting. And he hears it. And then he begins to experience some ecstasy. And he's thinking, what's happening here? What's happening? And I guess he's too shy to talk to the devotee. The Bhaktivinoda Thakura talks about that. He's too shy to talk to the devotee. And then just by hearing that Hare Krishna mantra once, he runs to Mayapur and he takes shelter of one of the Babaji's there, you know, one of the pure devotees there in Mayapur, and eventually gets initiated. His name becomes Vaishnava Das. And because he's such a good Mayavadi, he knows all the Vedas perfectly. Anyone here? You've read the Jagadharma, anyone? Yeah. He knows all the Vedas perfectly. So when anybody comes to visit these Babaji's, they just like, he's like their weapon. They sent him to actually philosophically deal with everybody. So it's really interesting because he's been trained up in all those things. So the point being that just hearing the Hare Krishna mantra from an advanced devotee, a pure devotee, it changes one's whole life. And some of you weren't here when I told the story about how I first heard Prabhupada chanting about 1968 or so on the radio. And my whole life just like did an about face at that point. Everything changed. Just by hearing the pure chanting, which Prabhupada describes the chanting of Hare Krishna descends, actually it's the Acharyas described, the chanting of Hare Krishna descends from Goloka Vrindavan. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtan. So everything's there in the Hare Krishna mantra. So why don't we take some questions now since we just have a few minutes left. Questions? Anyone have any questions? Yeah.
I don't know the term really well, yeah. But that feeling of ecstasy, is that connected to Raga Nuga Bhakti? Or is that different?
Yeah. Let me describe what Raga Nuga Bhakti. Yeah, the word Rag means like the happiness, like that, something like that, or relationship happiness. But so there's different levels of bhakti. In the beginning, there's something called sadhana bhakti. Is the beginning. Sadhana means you practice. I mean, that's after you get into bhakti. Actually, Rupa Goswami and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give this whole hierarchy of different stages. Ado, Shraddhatatha, Sadhu, Sangotha, Bhajanakriya. The first thing is that one gets initial interest because they have gotten some good association. Lord Chaitanya says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the soul is wandering all over the universe, all over many different universes. And when it comes in contact with a great devotee like Prabhupada, then you get something called the bhakti lata bij, which means the seed or the creeper of devotion. And then that bhakti lata bij is watered more. So one first gets that initial shraddha. Shraddha means basically faith, but it means more than that. It means something that is pulled to the heart. Shraddha, da means to go, shrak means it's heart, like rid. There's that word in Sanskrit, rid. So it means it's pulled to the heart, actually. That's a really interesting definition of faith. So shraddha, and then one begins to associate with other spiritualists, and then Bhajanakriya, one begins to do what they're doing. So that's the initial stage called. No, after that initial shraddha, then there's the sadhana where one begins to practice. It's like playing the piano. You got to practice some scales first. Sometimes it drives people crazy. Anyone who's had kids who practice a musical instrument knows what it's like. Oh my God! Let me get out of here. So that's called sadhana. And there's two stages of sadhana. One is the vaidhi stage, where you're just doing it because that's what you're supposed to do. It's just a rule. And it may be pretty dry at that point. But anyway, you want the goal. So, let's give an example of someone who runs in the Olympics. The goal is actually to win the gold medal. But you really have to exercise, practice every day. Okay, Gokul Chandra, he's an expert yogi. And he has sadhana with all these different asanas. You've seen his asanas, I'm sure. They're amazing. Actually, he's on the Raga Nuga platform, isn't he? No, he's on the Baba Prana platform. Anyway, he's on a higher platform. But let's give an example when he first started. Now it's just spontaneous love for asanas. So when he first started, you practice. It's not that the first day he looked at some of the exercises. I was in his house, and he had this whole chart of like thousands of different exercises. Remember that chart on your wall in Finland? Yeah, I would look at it, and I said, can you do all these? And he said, sure. I can do all these and more. I said, wow. No, no, I'm just making it up. But anyway, he was never proud. But it was, but he was practicing in the beginning. I mean, it's not the first day he started yoga that he was doing amazing things. It probably took years of practice to get to this point. Years of practice. And so that's like Vaidhi, you know, he's doing the practice. And then after a while, it becomes spontaneous. Like you practice scales on the piano, and after a while, you know, you don't even have to think about it. And then, so that's Raghunuga. Raghunuga is still practice, but you're still, you're just like really getting into it, doing it spontaneously, and you really like it. And then after Raghunuga, there comes another stage called Bhava. That's after sadhana, sadhana and Raghunuga. Bhava means you're just like absorbed in so many emotions that you can't stop doing it. Actually, even in the sadhana stage, many times if you try to think of Krishna, your mind goes to something else. But when you get into Bhava stage, when you try to think of something else, the mind goes to Krishna. Like if you're a businessman, like Raneshwar. I try to get him to think about business sometimes, you know. I keep telling him, I say, if you're a businessman, you got to make a lot of money, you know, like Prabhupada said, for a rhinoceros. And he says, no. Love, peace, Krishna. So his mind automatically goes to Krishna, but it's really not so good for him. So that's a higher stage. So, and then after that, there's prema, which one? In other words, in prema, there's no chance of thinking of anything else but Krishna. So Raghunuga, yeah, so that's the Raghunuga stage. But even in the beginning stage, you can experience relief from all distress. An auspicious life, and then gradually you get, you know, transcendental happiness and things like that. And then when on the higher stages, you could, your love actually attracts Krishna, controls Krishna. That's on the higher stage. And in the beginning stage, you can still attract Krishna's attention, but you can't control it. But in the higher stage, you actually control Krishna, like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. He was controlling Krishna, just telling Krishna, all right, go here, go here. Krishna was the, it's called Parthasarathi, which means Krishna was his chariot driver. It's nice. Any other questions before we take prasad? It's nice to see all these nice new faces here. So you're staying in Vrindavan, then? And tomorrow we're just going to visit some people in Vrindavan tomorrow morning. And the next day, hopefully we'll get time to do Parikrama, because the Friday's our last day here. And maybe you can join us for Parikrama on Friday morning.
That'd be amazing.
We start at 6. 6 o'clock in the morning. And we walk pretty fast.
I heard you guys walk very fast.
Yeah.
Move it.
Yeah, when I'm not with them, they walk slow. Like they went to some place without me today, and I was waiting for them for like hours. He went to Nardakun, and I was just like, when are they coming? You know, call them on the phone. You know. Okay. That's it. We can get ready for prasad and all the way. So, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Okay, well, I want everyone to see all your smiling faces. Let's see. Okay. This is our... There's our yogi. He's famous. When I introduced myself, I said, I'm just related to Gokul Chandra. They said, who are you? Krishna West.